he, Gil Newendyke was also on his team, and he outscored Gil like nothing. Yep. And he only played the 1 year.
Paul Ravery?
Paul Ravery, yeah.
Could have. So Paul says could have. And there's another kid, and I can't remember his name, that played out there. He could have played senior, but these guys just didn't want to travel or go to the, you know, whatever.
And at the time, they didn't have Senior B,
nope.
Which was a little bit less just on the weekends.
Until Lasco. Lasco sponsored Senior B Club.
Did you play on that team? What was it, 69?
Rick did.
Was it 69? Senior B? I hardly have anything on that either. I think Jerry Burrell's dead.
I don't know.
Jerry. Did he come from Oshawa?
Yeah.
From the same league that you played in?
Did he come from Connaught Park?
I just remember him for a couple of years.
You didn't try to find this Wes Ogden, did you?
No,
he's probably dead, you know, because he was older than... Well, he was young, but 16, he might have been 25 or something, yeah. So
10 years, he'd be 88.
Yeah.
I know, that's hard with trying to find... There's a couple guys I want to get in the Oshawa Hall of Fame, but they're so old that even guys 80 don't remember them.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to Roy Fleming, and he agrees both these two guys should be in the Oshawa Hall of Fame. One guy was, I can't remember his name now, played in 1936 on the team, and there was this great Indian player, his name was Bill Isaacs. He won 7 scoring titles back in the 30s and 40s. And this guy, Chuck Barron, played for Oshawa. He played 1 year for Oshawa. He outscored the native player by a lot, and he played less games. And he's played every year he was on Oshawa. They were intermediate. He was the top scorer. And he also played in 1932 in the Pro League. You know, but no one's ever heard of him, you know, like Chuck Barron.
Yeah.
Heard of him, except Roy Fleming, and there's one guy at the Hall of Fame, he's Bill, I can't think of his last name, he's about 80, and he remembered him, you know, but to get,
because
all they care about is hockey there.
Yep. That was the whole thing, hockey is the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, Kelly DeGray got him.
Those cards, because it's hockey.
Yeah.
Those cards that we got, it's hockey first, and yet all our cross cards. Then they tell you where they played lacrosse.
Well, back then, lacrosse was bigger than hockey.
Bigger at the time.
Newsy Lawn made $5,500 in 1 year playing lacrosse. The most you could get in playing hockey, and Newsy Lawn was, you know, a superstar.
Right.
He made $2,500 1 year for Montreal Canadiens.
Look at the Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
Christ, $1,800.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, that's what browsed me about the West, too. They used to take all our good lacrosse players from here. Because they had jobs. You know, in all the breweries or the parks or fire department. Bobby Allen.
Don't you think it sort of evens out, though? It'd be 1 year they'll get a lot of kids out here. I remember Brooklyn had the Gates and Tommy Marichuk and Peter Park. And
I don't know where Brooklyn gets their money. No, their sponsors.
Mike always said that Gate did, like he, Labatt sponsored him. I don't know what money he got from that, but Redmond never gave him any money. And it just, you know, except for
Mike Gray?
Yeah, that's what Mike says. And Mike was always the treasurer, like, even when he wasn't treasurer, he was...
He always got something to do with the club, always has. Yeah, and Bessie's another guy.
They're both lifetime members of the
Redmen.
Yeah. And Gene Dobb, those three guys.
And Sully.
You know, no, Sully's not.
Sully was always in there, an executive. He was pissed off.
Well, Sully and
cut him when we had that Man Cup team. Because too much mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
I want to interview him, too. Sully
Sully can, that's what I say, him and Elmer, Yeah, but mine's like
Elmer
computer.
Has some great
holy
stories.
Jesus. Elmer knows every guy he played with.
Yeah, you know, some funny things that they've done too.
Yeah.
Do you remember any?
You don't want to know about.
Do you have any shenanigans that can go in a book that are bad but not too bad that get someone in trouble? Do you remember anything?
keep my mouth shut there. Well, there one that won't get anybody in trouble because everybody's retired is that first year we were out there with Rattan and the guys, and they had a beer. They had a beer strike out there, and we had paid a guy, I don't know, in a beer store or something, and they were bringing it in from Alberta by the truckload. Two or three a day to certain places, and this guy would phone us and tell us the team would go, and you were allowed 2 12s. So everybody would go in and get 2 12s. So make a long story short is, of course, getting a hotel after a game, you got a day between. So we had this RCMP guy. Ken Rattan was a OPP or provincial or whatever. So he got talking to this guy, come on, have a beer. So they come back, because beer was scarce, why not? You know, it's free. So the guy stayed for 3 days. Ken got up one morning, Ken's coming down the hallway, and he's got the Mountie hat on, he's got the guy's gun, and his boots, and his underwear, coming down the hall. Oh, you nuts? You got the guy's gun? But that's under the bridge, and the guy won't get hurt now. He's probably retired.
Probably dead.
That was what, 63 or something?
Yeah. Mike told us once, but I didn't get it on that interview, was about they were out west for Man Cup, and him and Elmer, I think, was a piano or a TV they threw in the swimming pool?
I'm just going to say that.
What
I didn't want to...
TV, what's it?
The Royal Arms, or the Gales stayed there.
With the Gales in 61, maybe.
No. They were with the Redmen.
Yeah.
But we always stayed at the Russell, and they treated us perfect.
Yeah.
Heffernan could play the piano. Well, at that time, there was no music in bars. So we're all down in the afternoon drinking Brandy Alexander's. So the guy come over and they were 85 cents or something. Well, you get 20, everybody throws a buck on the table. So we're in there one afternoon and there's a piano. So we go over and take the cover off and Grant's really pounding away on it. Christ, customers are coming in now. The bar is full. So the manager comes down. You can't do that. So they take the piano and they shove it into another room that's beside it. So the manager goes away. So we go over, open the friggin' door, and Grant starts playing again. So the guy, manager comes down. He says, all right. He says, you'll get me fine. He says, well, take the piano downstairs. He says, I got a room for you. He says, you can take it there and bring anybody you want in. So they took it downstairs for us. And we had our parties downstairs in this room. And the guy sent down a case of champagne the last game we won for the team. We spent a lot of money there. Plus they had a little restaurant at the side, just a little tiny thing. And we had tickets, you know, for breakfast, dinner, and lunch, or whatever they called it. And Bev Groves, he played for us a couple of years. Well, he was out west, moved out there. His mother would run it or something. So we'd go in there and have breakfast and give her all three tickets. So what the hell? We didn't care. The guy was treating us all right. But yeah, small things like that. He was the one that... That was our... When we went out there to play the Luckies. But then, yeah, the Gaels used to stay in this Royal Alexander or something up on the hills. And, well, that's when the Gaels come play for us. That first year they come and played for us, some of them. And we're not staying at Russell. Well, as far as I'm concerned, Russell was all right with us. So we got into this Royal Alexander, or whatever the hell they called it. And, somebody had taken one of the pictures off the wall, made a postcard out of it, something about masturbating or something. So instead of hiding it, they threw it under the bed. Well, of course, broads come in to clean, there's this sign. So that's right down to the manager. So the next thing was what you were saying. We're playing cards in Mike and Elmer's room, and Mike just goes, starts drinking and he goes wingy. Next thing we know, we see the TV flying out the window into the pool. So they didn't really say anything about that. But the next day, in Bessie's room, that was it. They got these sliding doors that go out onto the balcony. So they slid it and they come off. So now the manager's right up there like nothing. He's yet one more thing and you guys are out. So me and somebody had gone someplace downtown or something, and we come back and our bags were out on the street. Said they've moved you to the Russell. Oh good, what happened? I guess the manager had no sooner gone downstairs and somebody went and opened the door and the door fell off the balcony and out onto the roof or something. That guy was up there like a flash of guessing. You're out. You're all out. Get out. Don't want you no more.
And these are things I want. It's in the book. I want stories about things.
Well, something like that's not hurting anything.
Yeah, it's just not terribly bad.
TV got thrown out on the roof and stuff.
Bernie, is this the first... Now, you just can't finish this one. Where does this book come from?
That's tape one.
Did I already write on that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jesus, I ain't going to give you any more beer here. You lost.
On the one tape I did with Lewis, we're up in the Whitney Lounge, and it was funny because he's sitting there, and remember old Merv that used to hang around with him? Plaskett?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Lewis is there, and he says, on the tape, he goes, "Is that my second beer over there?" You know, and "Murph, get my second beer!" And then he's on there, and he started talking about a hockey league up in Northern Ontario and how this guy stole a check and, they had to cancel the league or something. And I was just doing it, and I, on purpose, I said, "What, they cut off his leg because the leak folded?" He goes, "No, I told you." You know, like, it was funny, though, the things I got from Lewis. That interview was way back in either 96, I think, or 98. We were in the Whitney.
Isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's been dead a long time. And Tim died, too.
I know, and they had a closed funeral.
That was another guy I wanted to interview.
Yeah, they had a closed funeral on it. I can see that, but he had so many friends.
Yeah.
Like, the last time I talked to him, the store was open here, and I was working on the lawn, and he, "What the hell do you think you're doing, you old bastard?" And he's older than I am. He'd come over and shoot the breeze for about a half an hour. And then you'd see a lady stand over there, and it's his wife. She can wait. We talked another 15 minutes. Yeah, I liked all of Ipons.
Yeah, I want to... I got to do Sully, for sure. I keep saying I'm going to do these. Before you know it, you know, the guys...
They're gone.
Every year I go down to Texas, someone dies. You know, two or three.
Hey, they're all getting old. Well, I'm about the oldest now with Gord. I knew Gord was still, and I'd seen Huey at one of the Senior B games.
But Gord's in better shape. He actually goes to the odd game.
Gord does?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen him there.
And
what,
I think,
Redmond game or?
Merchant Games out there, because he lives out in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn,
still.
Yeah. So is Huey, as far as I know.
Yeah, but Huey, I think, was in an old age home, or he...
It could be. I haven't, because the last time he had a house just up the road, you know, up through the church there, he had property, but I see the property's been sold, so maybe it is.
Well, I've never met neither of those guys. I met, like, Gord's son, I think it was, last year, and he was supposed to introduce me to his dad.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Mm. I never got around to that yet. I'm going to do it this summer.
You better get going.
I said I'd get...
It might be you that
yeah.
We won't see anymore.
Well, I said I'm going to do 2 interviews each year, but I'm going to try to do 4 this year.
When you put your book out?
Well, it takes... After I interview this, it's going
to
take me about a month
to go through all
to
stuff.
Write it up into, like, so
yeah.
You can read it, and then put that chapter in. I got chapters 1 to 9 done. I got chapter 11, and so chapter 10 was going to be the Green Gales since they came to Junior B, and then yours will be before Mike's, so I might have 2 interviews together. But what I'm trying to do pretty well is do a chapter that I write or get from newspaper stuff, and then a chapter will be just an interview. And then I figured I need at least 20 chapters in it.
Yeah. You need to read that.
Mike Mitchell's got a book coming out.
You see that piece that was done on me in the Times? When I was